When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word, and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to sabotage someone else's student council campaign? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I am just starting season 3 of this little-known show called Veep. So I feel as though I am the best person possible to talk about politics and dirty campaigning and everything that goes along with a... with a very competitive and, I don't know, tumultuous campaign. Have you ever heard of the show Veep? It's with Julia Louis-Dreyfus. She won a couple of, like, small awards for it. I don't know.
Emmys?
Emmys. Yeah. I don't know if you're aware.
I've honestly only seen less than 10 episodes of Veep, I would say. It was funny. I did enjoy it. I think it was just like sometimes the political stuff is very hit and miss for me. I do want to check it out at some point again in the future. But
I mean, time is now.
Yeah. But you're done with Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad. And now on to Veep is your next show.
Yeah. Like, I think it was this podcast. We bopped it. Veep it, vop it, vap it, loop it, pop it. Remember? No, it's good. It's good. I'm really enjoying it. It's like, it's fun. I like the shorter episodes. I like that it's a 10 episode season. We're just going.
Oh, do you have a show lined up for after this? Because I feel like you're going to like just slide on through Veep. No problem.
No, not yet. But I'll start our good friend of the pod, Lindy, has given us a list of shows to check out that we have ignored every single
time. Have you considered putting that list on a wheel and spinning a wheel to see what you should watch next?
I'll see what Adam thinks about that. Like, I am not very good about that type of stuff because I'm
like the randomization.
I don't like the randomization, and then I get like very like mad about it because I'm like, I feel as though, like, I don't really think that I have decision paralysis. I more so have, like, there's like two thoughts. There's like the thing that I want and the thing that I feel like somebody else will be happy with, and like that's kind of what I'm going for. But like, I know what I want to watch, you know.
What do you want to watch next?
I want to force him to watch Sex and the City.
Yes, I do think that would be interesting, especially considering I attempted to do that with Will and he eventually dipped out. I think in season three, but I'm not 100% certain. Well,
once she cheated on Aiden, he was probably out because
he was cooked. He was done. He was pissed.
Yeah, Will is a huge person. Like, he doesn't like the gray area of life. Like, he's very
book guy.
Yeah, this is wrong. I don't like this. This is not just like he's not like a scammer, wheeler, dealer.
He's not any
criminal like Adam and I are. Like, we're
he doesn't live in the gray area. Depending on like what we're watching, whether it's scripted or unscripted, like as an example with reality television, it deeply, deeply upsets him when someone he doesn't like or doesn't respect or whatever wins a game or is like doing well in a game. Like, he hates it.
He's very by the book Libra, which like Adam's a Libra too, but he's, I feel like Adam's a charisma Libra and not like like this thing has to be just and fair Libra.
Well, keep me posted on what you watch next. I feel like Veep is probably a pick for him, so then naturally you should get the next pick. Or in terms of like going with something that, because he's seen Veep a bunch of times, so picking something that you've seen a bunch of times and maybe he hasn't, I think would be fun. Anyway, keep me posted. I love this. But we need to talk about this episode of Felicity, season 2, episode 19, Running Mates. We're still on this like student council campaign storyline. And I have to say, I think my favorite thing to come out of this storyline is the fact that someone called Felicity a chia head.
It's getting dirty, right? Because we have people stealing posters and drawing over it and defacing writing them. Defacing. The chia head thing was really, really funny. She is a chia head. Have you ever grown a chia plant?
No, but as a child of the 90s, I of course remember the commercials, the chia. I remember a bunch of them. Like, I think there was like a hedgehog one. There definitely was an Albert Einstein one. And I remember for a while, like big celebrities would get like chia heads of themselves. Like, I always wanted to grow one. I don't know. Like, wasn't there a Bob Ross one too? Does it ever stop growing eventually? Does it just keep growing forever? Do you have to trim it?
I don't know if you have to trim it, but
I wonder if I could buy a chia pet right now. Are there pets, right?
Yeah, they're called chia pets. Of course you can. Like, you can go to Walmart and find them.
I could buy a hedgehog for $24. Bob Ross, $23. If you want a Donald Trump one, which I don't, but they have one for $20. There's a Baby Yoda one.
They grow obscenely fast.
Yeah.
So, like, you can do the setup, and then basically in 2 days, you have, like, a full-ass chia.
There's some really cute ones. There's Oscar the Grouch, where it's, like, his whole body is the chia. That's so – I love that. That's so inventive. Who would want a poop emoji chia pet? What is the world coming to?
Well, people love poop emoji. I don't know why that became a thing, but... because
children. That's why.
I'm not advanced enough to understand why people love the poop emoji. Hey, you know what? Maybe you should go to Walmart and just go and get a chia pet today.
I want one.
Yeah.
Not sponsored, but we should be.
The thing is, I don't think that chia needs to have like commercials or advertising. Like, this thing has been around since the beginning of time. Like, everybody knows what it is. So I really don't know. Ooh, you can get a vintage 1990s chia pet.
I mean, honestly, here's the thing. And this is speaking from experience going into stores a lot more lately, and also I went to Portsmouth, New Hampshire, which has a lot of like those kind of touristy little shops with all the little doodads and whatnot. I feel like the 90s are in such a hot, they're in like in the moment right now. It's a thing, and I feel like there was a whole like nostalgia section of this store, and that made me feel so old, because there was like Chia Pets and Slinkies and like glass marbles, you know, like there was everything from our childhood. But anyway, I did love
your advertises like vintage toys.
Yes.
Getting at.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, so we have like this whole campaign thing going on and it's getting very contentious. And so Greg and Felicity had this agreement of like, listen, we got to do what it takes, but also we're not going to get personal like with each other. But the drama happens when Ben thinks he saw one of Greg's friends who's been helping him with the campaign defacing one of Felicity's posters. And Felicity naturally believes Ben and goes to Greg and said, hey, your friend with the like, and the thing is Ben had key details, Sarah. He was like red hat, like backwards baseball cap. He looked specifically like this. I chased him away. And instead of even just double checking with his friend, Greg's like, nah, 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 nah. Wasn't him. Wasn't him.
Yeah. The thing is that like I found it very hard to believe that Greg didn't know that his friend was doing this anyway. So I kind of feel like he was just like denying it to save face. Of course, on the flip side, when Greg came to Felicity about Ben and the releasing the information about the cocaine incident, Felicity automatically defended Ben. So like they both have their people and believe in their people, their friends, that they feel like they know what their friends are up to. So it's kind of like the same thing on the same edge of the coin. And honestly, I think like revealing like very personal information, like having an addiction issue, is probably a worse crime.
Oh, 1,000%. Yes.
Stealing or defacing some posters. But all in all, like this campaign got very contentious. That's a great word for like no reason. I mean, like it got very childish throughout it. And I'm honestly like, I'm kind of like happy with the outcome that is like it wound up being. I mean, like, yeah, Richard was involved in it a little bit, but honestly, he just wanted his pizza. Like, that's it. And so I'm like, I'm happy that it's like some rando girl that we didn't see involved in anything. Like, the only thing that we saw from her was her putting up her own poster. And I feel like that's a good lesson with politics, honestly, that it's like, that's what I was feeling before Kamala came in to the thing. Like I was like, I am so fatigued with all the name calling and like the hating on each other, and
it feels childish. Like, it feels very immature.
And
like
the debate between Biden and Trump, it just felt like two boys like bullying each other on the playground. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Like they fucking asked about child care, and both candidates at the time, it completely ignored the question and instead gone and digs on each other. And like that's why like I was feeling so uninspired a few months ago with our American politics, because I was like, nobody cares about anything except winning. And I felt like I felt like it was a good lesson that like a separate candidate one who kept out of the drama and just focused on the issues. I wish I knew what her issues or what her platforms were. We don't know. And honestly, I guess it doesn't matter at the end of the day, because we're not going to this fake NYU school. And then how can you beat the stance of pizza? Honestly,
you really can't. And the thing is when that's your opponent, like I feel like Felicity didn't need this anyway. She didn't need student council president on her list, her very long to-do list. I think she's preoccupied with other things. She didn't need to win this. I don't understand why Greg was running for this either. Like he seems extremely busy with the clinic and everything.
Well, I mean, for me, I feel like it's strictly a resume booster to get into med school.
Yeah, which again, like, that should be on your list of reasons why you want to do it, but shouldn't be the sole reason. Like the, in my opinion, at least, and this is maybe a very naive way of looking at it, is like, you should want to better the school and like your community. That should be the goal. And yeah, it got very childish and very immature. And it just, I was disappointed because it was like, okay, now we have Greg being like, oh, you believe Ben and not me. And then it turns out like, yeah, his guy definitely is the one who's defacing things. But I really love the quote from Michelle Obama, who I absolutely adore. When they go low, we go high. Unfortunately, Felicity does not do that.
Yeah, well, yes, she's trying to like justify she because we start off being like, that's what she says. Like, I don't want dirty politics. I don't want dirty politics. I'm trying to stay out of like the smoke. Like, I really want to just like focus on my campaign. And then eventually, like, once the defacing of the posters, calling her a chia pet, stealing the posters, like all the dirty stuff, she kind of gets into it too. Like, and like, I mean, I like the fact that her and Ben were having fun, right?
That's where I am in agreement with it.
However, yeah, it was really cute. And I think that like what I do like, and once again, this is such like pacey upside of like, let's bring the fun out of her. Let's not be like, you know, like buttoned up Felicity who doesn't have fun. Like, I like the fact that he brings joy out of her. However, I just think that like she just got like too caught up in all of it. It reminds me of the show of The Politician. Did you see that show with Ben Platt?
Yeah, I remember that. Yes.
Yeah. I really liked that show a lot because it was like about high school politics initially anyway. And it's like, you really like, you start with the best of intentions, and as you go down the path, you just like lose who you fundamentally are.
Yeah, because it's like it's tit for tat is what it ends up being. And Felicity gets pushed over the edge when someone like basically breaks into her dorm room and steals all like her supplies and like her campaign supplies. And so that's when her and Ben decide, well, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to break into Greg's friend, his dorm, and steal his stuff. And a great friend of the podcast, Todd the Librarian, noted in his commentary, they are still on probation and they are now breaking into someone's place. This feels like
stupid.
Really not, the juice isn't worth the squeeze here. Like, you're actively doing something that could get you in way more trouble than anyone else who doesn't already have anything on your record. And also, to Noel's point, they suck at breaking into places. They get caught when they break into places. So it just doesn't it feels like an unnecessary thing to be doing. But of course, this is when they find the proof that, like, you know, baseball hat guy is the one who's been defacing everything. Yeah. Or at least part of her stuff.
I have a question for you. Did you think that either Megan initially was responsible for the stealing of the stuff or let this friend of Greg's in on purpose?
I think it was the latter more so. I think that Megan is like, once she realizes what's going on and she like, the door is wide open for this man to come in and take things. And I think part of that is she's hoping to cause a rift between Greg and Felicity, which does kind of happen as a result of all of this, right? Like, it's a lot of, oh, you believe me, not, you know, you believe them, not me, kind of thing back and forth. And Ben gets so frustrated with all of this. He's so sick of Greg being like a jerk off, and he thinks Greg is lying to Felicity. So he and Richard team up, which I thought was a very funny pair, because most of the time when we see Richard hanging out with someone, it's Noel. So we get a little Ben and Richard action.
Or more recently, Sean.
Yes. Oh, right, with the documentary. Yes. And so they team up and Ben tells Richard about basically Greg's past and the fact that he was arrested for using drugs. And Richard is not afraid to dirty politic. The niceties went out the window when someone trashed his free Pizza Fridays posters. You know, he was ready to go really in a turn that I really didn't like. I mean, I think everyone could agree with that. This was like the wrong thing to do. Like, yes, he had an arrest record and everything, but he obviously has been working to better himself since that incident. And it's like really unfair to bring that up in terms of a school election. What are we doing here? You know,
that's exactly how I feel, because I was like, okay, like maybe if this was like a presidential election. Like, I don't know. I mean, I also kind of, I think that for me personally, other people might think differently, but I think that if I found out that a candidate did have a past with substance issues, but has better themselves, like, for me, I think that is like an endearing or like an inspirational issue.
Hey, you've worked on yourself.
A very real issue, something that I think a lot of Americans and people around the world can relate to. So yeah, like, I don't think that that would change my opinion on a candidate. And honestly, honesty is refreshing in the world of politics. So like, once again, if somebody was like open with it, I think that I would be very like, you know, receptive to all of that. But other people might think so. And I think that like Ben really feels like it's just like solely based on like dishonesty. He doesn't like the dishonesty about all of it, blah, blah, blah. Well,
and of course he's jealous. Yeah. He's very jealous. He wants to knock Greg down a peg or two. And so he releases this information to Richard, who then makes posters about it. Greg sees them. He tells Felicity he thinks it's Ben. You know, Felicity tries to defend Ben as Greg tried to defend his friend. And Felicity really doesn't think that Ben did anything. And Ben is like struggling. He's like, I feel like he instantly regrets it. He tries to go back to Richard, but it's already too late. And he talks to Sean to try to get advice about this whole thing. Who, by the way, the Sean storyline, we have to just quickly comment on him having a ton of spy gear was so funny to me. And I adored it because as someone who really, really adored Harriet the Spy when I was a kid, I really like wanted all of these things and never had them because either they didn't exist or like, you know, it was a phase. But I loved Sean having that ready, that gear. He's like, okay, we got everything here, you know?
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. And I think that if I remember correctly, didn't he have like some sort of secret new invention that he was talking about?
Yeah, it was like a helmet night glasses thing or something like that. There was something on his head.
Yeah, I don't know. He had like another invention. I don't remember. Let's bring back the inventions. I would love that.
Yeah. Yeah. He had phone recorders, cell phone scanners. Wow. Yeah. He has a projector. He has like everything. So yeah. And so, but Ben does this really shitty. Like, I don't want to slide past the fact that like what Ben did is insulting. It's rude. Even if you dislike someone, doing that basically tarnishes that person's reputation, obviously going to ruin his chances of getting elected student president, beyond the fact that now, like, something that I'm sure Greg feels a great deal of shame about is now circulating around the entire school. And not for nothing, Sarah, I'm sure the health clinic is aware of this because I'm sure he had to get like background checked and everything to work there.
You'd hope, but honestly, who knows?
But I also feel like something like this getting brought to the forefront of people's minds again could be really disastrous for Greg's life in general, his job, his shot at medical school, all of those things. Like, it's really just a nasty, nasty thing to do. And I think Ben does it strictly out of spite and jealousy. Yeah. And so he's like kind of battling whether or not he wants to tell Felicity about it. But before he can, Richard spills the beans at the campaign party thing where Richard and this other girl get elected.
Yeah.
And here's the interesting thing. So let's break down this whole road trip situation, right? Where Greg seems like, when are we going to go on another date? They've been on one single date, I think. And Greg is now asking Felicity for a weekend away. This is a little crazy to me to have been on one date and then immediately weekend away.
It's a bold move, especially because you can't escape. However, I think that since they work together so much, I don't think it's that weird. I think that if you met somebody on the apps and then you had one date and then the next time you get asked out is for a weekend away, that's batshit insanity. That person could be a murderer. But Felicity hangs out with Greg literally all the time. They've been on one date, but they've been dating and flirting and talking to each other for months now. So I don't think that a weekend away is that extreme or wild in this particular situation.
I think it's only a little weird because I feel like you should at least have spent the night at someone's place for one night first before you're going to spend multiple nights away with someone, like away from civilization. They're going up to Rhinebeck, which shouts to Rhinebeck, not that far from where I live.
Yeah, I'm curious. So that's in upstate New York?
Not quite up. I mean, depends on who you ask. It's north of Poughkeepsie, if that helps you. North of Poughkeepsie, south of Catskill.
Bitch, that's upstate New York. Upstate New York.
No. There is downstate or Long Island and New York City, Manhattan. Yeah,
that's clustered. Queens, Brooklyn.
There's all that downstate stuff.
That's then what you call downstate.
And then the capital region.
No, and then whatever's in the proper New York State that's not a fucking island, that's upstate New York.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
I love how you say this with such confidence as someone who doesn't live in New York and never has lived in New York.
Yeah, but I live in New Jersey, which is right next to, right next, don't insult
and yet,
me, right next to New York.
But
I think like the matter of the fact is that like what we consider New York, because basically, we are sandwiched in between upstate New York and like it's you, then it's me, then it's what downstate or the islands. And in New Jersey culture, there's Manhattan, Brooklyn, Bronx, Queens, Staten Island, blah, blah, blah. That, and then everything else is upstate.
Yeah. So where I'm from, we consider ourselves to be the capital region. That's what I would call where I live.
In my life, but go on.
Because I live close to the capital of New York, which is Albany, not New York City, as some people probably think. And so there's the capital region.
Like a six-year-old?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm definitely saying like children would think that. Okay. So I live in the capital region, north of like maybe like Saratoga, I would say. That is what I would consider to be upstate New York. And then you have central New York, which is west of me. And then you have Western New York, which is practically Canada. Like Buffalo that gets like multiple feet of snow every year, like at a clip. They are very different and should not be considered upstate New York. They are Western New York. They're practically Canadian at that point. So anyway, the point is where these people, where Felicity and Greg are headed off to is Rhinebeck, New York, which is a little bit north of Poughkeepsie, which I feel like is most people know Poughkeepsie, and a little bit south of the Catskill Mountains, which oftentimes is where people in New York City will go.
County. Is that Hudson County?
It might be Hudson County. Let me see. Rhinebeck, New York County. Dutchess County.
Is that next to Hudson County?
I think so. It's in that general area. Yeah, but
you don't even fucking know your New York counties yet. You lived in New York your whole life.
Yeah, because I don't go down there. Why would I go down to Rhinebeck? I have no reason to go down there.
Well, apparently it's very nice.
Hudson is a little north of Rhinebeck. But yeah, generally this is like people would go to like the Catskill Mountains if they wanted to like go camping or something and they lived in the city. Usually they're driving up to like Catskill. Okay. But yeah, so the reason I bring all this up is they're literally going to be in a car together for at least like 3 hours probably. And they're going to be away together. And it's really interesting to me, Sarah, that like Felicity was very hesitant at first. She's like, I don't know, like maybe that's a bit too far. Maybe we just do a date first. And it seems like based on the fact that she changes her mind after she learns of Ben's betrayal, that the reason she was holding out was because, oh, I had so much fun with Ben. Like maybe I should be reconsidering things. And this is very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, Ben fucked up sincerely, but yeah, like I think that she was like kind of wanting to play the middle, so to speak, see where things go on dates with Greg, see how that is in a more like datey setting outside of the work. And then keep her options open for Ben, who I think that she, due to the documentary, was really like reconsidering him and thinking of like a possibility that they can have something. And of course, they're having a lot of fun together because he brings out this different side of her. And then once she finds out that from Richard. He has the silly slippies that Ben was involved. She's like, fuck it, I am getting out of here. And in a very pacey, like Fran Drescher moment, Ben goes to Grand Central Central Station, mm-hmm. buys a ticket, and is chasing after them, which I'm very excited for, because this yes. is the type of shit that I want to see from this type of show. I want to see the guy like get on the plane, interrupt the wedding, like, you know what I mean? Like, stand up and say, yes. I object. Like, I want to see this sort
the
of
Fran Drescher's. Yeah.
The Fran Drescher's. And it's so funny because, like, Adam, like, kind of caught the end of this episode mm-hmm. when I was watching it. And he was just like, number one, he was like, God, how did Felicity get even uglier? That's one comment.
Oh, no, not the chia head.
That's one comment that he made. And then at the end, he's like, no, Ben, what are you doing? Why do you even like her?
I mean, I would argue, why does Felicity even like Ben at this point in terms of like who's a nicer person or like a better person? Also, as bad as Felicity's hair is right now, and it is, it's horrifically bad. There is no chance I would ever say Carrie Russell is anywhere near remotely ugly. Like, Carrie Russell is absolutely gorgeous. And I could be biased yeah. because I'm currently watching The Americans. And you she do? Is just...
Are you attracted to her?
I think she's gorgeous. Like, her hair, 10 out of 10. I think she has, like, a nice face. Like, I don't know.
A nice face.
She has, like, a beautiful face. I think she's just a beautiful person.
Is the prettiest girl in the world.
Who is the prettiest woman in the world?
Woman in the world.
Hmm.
Who do you find like the most attractive? I think for me, mm-hmm. and I've talked about this a lot. Do you know who I'm going to say, by the way?
I can't think off the top of my head. You probably have said it, but I can't think of it.
Mila
off the top
Kunis.
Of my head. Oh, you have, because she looks like a
Shih Tzu. I really do think that Mila Kunis is like one of the most beautiful people that are in the world. I also think that she's having a bad moment right now, but I do think Blake Lively is.
I knew that's what you were going to say.
Is so she's just so pretty. And I think, like, I don't know, two different like looks, so to speak, because like I think mm-hmm. that like light eyes and dark hair is just like gorgeous. But like Blake Lively just has always had that like sun-kissed, like beach girly look.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think is the best looking woman in the world?
Okay, so I have one person in mind so far, and I feel like it's also like in terms of like being topical. I think Zendaya is absolutely stunning. I mm-hmm. love a tall woman. I feel like she just looks like a boss bitch, and yet she also is like. She just feels like for me, like attraction is also very, very rooted in personality. And she feels like a real human being, unlike a lot of celebrities. So I really love that about her. I think she's gorgeous and I think she's very funny. And I love someone who's like tall and owns it. And she is like that person. So I definitely think Zendaya would be on my list of like most attractive women. Mm-hmm. I can't, you know who else is like, and this is like an old school pick would be mm-hmm. like an Audrey Hepburn. Like, mm-hmm. I think she's like very classically beautiful. Mm-hmm. So if we're talking beautiful or we're talking hot, I think there's a little bit of a difference, but like Audrey Hepburn, I feel like her style and her little bit of like flair is very attractive. Mm-hmm. But I would call her more like beautiful than like spicy hot, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pop off.
Yeah. That's how I feel.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. If you want to tell us who you think is the most attractive woman in the world, just send that in to us. Very interesting.
Yeah. Please let us
also
know.
Also interesting how like beauty standards have changed throughout the years, because
yeah.
at one point in time, it was like Pam Anderson, blonde hair, blue eyed. Then we have like the Kardashian phase, which was like dark, long hair, like a juicy mm-hmm. ass. Now we're like apparently going back into like 90s skinny, which like it's not great, but you know, whatever floats people's boats.
It's just
very interesting.
hair is a big thing for me as well. Like, if you have big, curly, beautiful hair, mm-hmm. I'm both jealous and, like, I absolutely adore it. Like, I just think, like, someone who has big, lovely hair, like, healthy-looking hair. Like, Carrie mm-hmm. Russell, her hair always looks super healthy, despite the fact that I know they have to straighten that ish for the Americans because she got naturally very curly hair. Anyway.
Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So, yeah, so Ben ends up at the train station, like you were saying. He's going to be chasing Felicity, which I agree with you. I very much love. I love this. I know it's, like, very tropey and whatever, but, like, listen, you know, we're watching a teen drama. This is what we want. Give us what we want. And I was really excited to get this in the show because I'm like, oh, it's kind of, like, coming to a head a bit with them. And it seems very obvious that, like, okay, and I feel like you would relate to this too, Sarah. When you were around Felicity's age, even now maybe, but to a much smaller extent, when you were, like, crushing on someone or, like, in, like, a love-hate sort of thing, like a frenemies or whatever, you constantly bring them up in conversation. Like, yeah, you can't help yourself, right? And that is exactly what Felicity is doing. Me, like, oh, that Ben, I can't believe him. And it's like, okay, Felicity, let's go 20 minutes without you bringing Ben up. Not gonna happen.
Yeah. I mean, I've, of course, like, have done this before. If I have a crush on somebody, I kind of, like, or even if, like, they, like, if I do have a crush on somebody and then they're, like, pissing me off, it's very hard to be like, and this person did this, and then he said that, and I'm like, and I just, like, can't stop thinking about it. And it's like, and then your friend, I mean, like, they have to listen to your, like, ranting about something, like, or your scenarios in your head, and you're just like, God, it's so obnoxious, but it's hard not to, like, harp on it. Or even if you find out, like, this person is, like, interested in somebody else, or, like, I don't know. Then you're just like, why? Why would they like that person? It's just, it gets, like, very obsessive. So, yeah. And Greg knows. Greg is absolutely in the know that, like, this Ben thing is going to get in between them, which is so interesting because, like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess, like, it's interesting because it's almost like the Noel thing. It's almost like, it's kind of like with Ross, there was always Rachel in the back of his mind. So much so that he literally at his own wedding said the wrong name.
Yeah, iconic.
So it's kind of like, like, it's always going to be Ben. It's always going to be Ben.
We'll see what happens there in terms of if Felicity and Greg have a good weekend away, if it gets cut short for whatever reason, like, whatever happens, reason, all of it.
He's going to fucking show up. This is going to be like some
panic. But he's going, he knows to go to Rhinebeck. He doesn't know exactly where they're going to be.
No, Megan said, like, a bed and breakfast. I don't know if
they'll figure it out then.
It's going to be like one of those things. Oh, you know, in the Parent Trap where, like, the mom was going into the elevator and then it starts to close and the dad, Dennis Quaid, is out there.
Yes.
And they have that, like, look in between them. They're like, what are you doing here? Oh, what are you doing here?
Yes.
Except, like, one of them will know why they're there. But
I just remembered I have been to Rhinebeck one time. And can I tell you why I've been there?
Oh, please tell me why.
Paul Rudd and Jeffrey Dean Morgan own a candy store in Rhinebeck, New York called Samuel's Sweet Shop. And one day, I can't remember, like, if that was the sole reason. I'm pretty sure.
No, it was the sole reason. I remember. Yeah, because I remember you going specifically to go to the candy shop.
Yeah, we went to Rhinebeck, New York just to go to their candy shop. It was good. The food, the candies were good. It's about an hour away from where I live. I have been to Rhinebeck. It just dawned on me that was the town that little sweet shop is in.
why do you think that he started to open up a candy shop?
I don't know. I think him and Jeffrey Dean Morgan just like hit it off. And then I think Rhinebeck was important to one of them, but I can't remember which one. Mm-hmm. In terms of the location. Anyway, okay, so that's where we leave off with Ben, Philistine, Greg, and kind of that whole triangle. Do you want to talk next about Elena and Tracy?
Yeah.
Or do you, okay, let's talk about that.
Because if I can't talk about sex, I want to talk about sex. So
yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we learn this episode because it seems like Elena and Tracy are getting closer, and Elena's getting frustrated because it seems like she's expecting that he's going to like want to come up to her apartment, want to come up to her place. And he never really does. He kind of bows out. So she's like, what do I have to do to get this guy to fuck me? And, you know, Julie is like, lobsters. That's what you've got to do.
Are lobsters an aphrodisiac? I mean,
clams are, but
oysters, babe.
Oysters.
I feel like we should want either oyster, one. The oyster method. I know it's very fishy for.
But this is also like for a college student to buy lobster. Like, damn, she really is going all out. They're expensive.
This is a hot take. I don't think lobster is good.
It's not as good as it costs to eat it.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather eat a juicy burger for like $10 than a lobster for $30.
I do think that crab is good. Like, I like crab. Like, if I have to go eat shellfish, which I gotta be honest with you, I don't really like that much. Also, it's not kosher, but I'm just joking. I mean,
I was just gonna say, since when are you
kosher? I'm not kosher. But yeah. If I had to, because I don't want to eat the clams or the oysters. I feel like scallops are creepy.
Scallops are like very, and maybe I've just been eating them like from gross places. They're kind of like rubbery and they really smell.
Well, that's because they're cooked poorly, allegedly, but I don't know. But if I have to eat something, crab I'll do. Crab is Adam's favorite food, actually.
I also agree. I think crab is better than lobster. I think my main gripe with crab is if you're getting like crab legs or something, the amount of effort you have to put in for such a little return.
That's part of the fun, man.
I don't find it very fun. I don't know. Yeah. I want to just eat my food, not have to work to get it, you know?
Well, you're going to get uninvited to Crustfest 2025 then. Sorry about it.
So anyway, so Elena's going to get these lobsters, whatever. They have a great night. They're making out. And it's like, again, Tracy's dipping. It's like as soon as things seem to like they're going in a certain direction, Tracy's dipping out. And so Elena is getting very frustrated with him. I understand why, like, especially if it wasn't something he had communicated to her previously, like she's going to get self-conscious and think there's something wrong with her. Like, why is this guy not want to fuck me? What is going on? Because I think they're in college at this point. So I think it's a little, this isn't a high school show where it's like a more of a question if you're a virgin. I feel like it's like by college, most people assume you're probably not. And this was a wild thing to me, Sarah. I was shocked to learn that Tracy is a virgin by choice. And it's because his parents are religious, had him out of wedlock when they were like very young. And now they're super religious and are like, no, you can't fuck because sex equals pregnancy.
I don't know if the line of thing, I mean, that's, I think what he said. I think that ultimately he's saving himself for marriage is the headline. I was surprised too. Like, I wasn't anticipating this. This is like kind of like, Donald Faison usually plays like very over-sexualized characters. Like,
yeah, I think that was part of the reason I was so shocked.
Yeah. So like, I was very surprised, and I think like my biggest issue was the lack of communication, boundaries, and expectations. And I think and maybe it's hard for a guy who has these beliefs, which I think are valid. Like, I mean, I think it's valid to have the beliefs, and I think it's valid to not want to be in a relationship that doesn't have sex. Like, I think both, it's just really about like what you want, but there's plenty of people that save themselves for marriage. But I think the issue is that this wasn't something that he put up front. And like, I don't think that he very much portrays himself as a heavily religious person either. And I'm curious if it's more so his parents' beliefs that got forced upon him, or if it's his beliefs and he doesn't outwardly talk about it very often. Either way, the issue is that number one issue, expectations, boundaries, being open, communication with your partner in a relationship or potential relationship. This is probably like need to know info, but I don't know. Like, what are your thoughts about it? Like, do you think it's just like just wild? I don't know.
I mean, I think it's tricky because, again, we're watching now in 2024 and this feels like very, very, very old school. Like, I don't think you hear much about, unless someone is deeply religious. Like, it's really uncommon to hear, I'm saving myself for marriage. At least where I live, right?
Well, you know who does talk about that a lot? Like, people that, like, that go to Baylor or the Southern schools or
exactly, not
schools.
NYU.
And then, like, it's ring by spring. And like the intention of ring by spring is to get married. These people who are religious want to get married. But like, in my opinion, a big chunk of the reason why these people get so married so young is to have sex, because they do have these religious beliefs. But then we have 20-year-olds getting married so they can fuck to their high school boyfriend or college boyfriend and not getting to explore in their 20s. And then they're 28 and they're getting these divorces because they're with three kids, because they're stuck in this situation because of their religious beliefs. They rush into a marriage, don't get to explore, don't get to find out who they are. And then, like, yeah, like, of course, there's like tons of cases where it does work out. But this is why, like, ring by spring is flawed, because you're just rushing to get married ultimately to have sex.
Yeah. That's, again, I'm not trying to like trash on anyone's religious beliefs. Like, as long as you're not hurting other people, like, go for it. Wait until you're married. But I just think not having sex with someone before you marry them feels really scary to me, because what if you don't have that chemistry? Like, what if it doesn't, what if it's, you're not aroused? What if you're not compatible in that particular way? Now you're married to this person. And like, Elena, by the end of the episode, like, yes, she's very taken aback by this. Like, she's very surprised. Ultimately, it seems like by the end of the episode, they say, quote unquote, friends, but then they kiss. So like, I think she's just ultimately going to be fine with it. However, Sarah, I have a very, very strong gut feeling. I have a very big prediction to make that is just a deep, deep pit in my stomach that now Tracy knows, I assume, that Elena is not a virgin, right? Because she kind of mentions it in that conversation. He says, I'm a virgin, and she, you know, she not. Says,
I've never met anybody who's saving themselves for marriage. Right. And he says, yes, you do.
Right. So I think it's kind of implied that she is no longer a virgin. However, I have a feeling, because the professor's name got brought up, that like, Tracy is going to find out that Elena slept with the professor. I don't know how he's going to find out, but he's going to find out. And I think that is going to cause a real big rift in what Elena and Tracy are moving towards in their relationship. So it does give me pause and make me nervous, because, Sarah, this is a tale as old as time, especially in 90s shows, where there's a lot of like slut shaming and like, oh my God, you slept with this person, like blah, 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 blah. And I just don't want that for Elena, because she does not deserve that. You know, no woman does. Like, you should not be shamed for sleeping with a professor is wrong, but we should be looking at the professor, who's the one in power that is like the problem here, not the student Elena. I'm worried that that's what we're heading towards.
I hope not because I really like Tracy, and I really want like them to work out. Like, I kind of feel like I would be okay if the ultimate reason they don't work out is because they have different views on sex. I think that it's something like I haven't really seen before, but I don't know.
Yeah. It's just, we'll see. I feel like it's going to cause problems between them, which makes me sad, just because I really love them together. I think they're so fun. So we'll see where that heads. But suffice it to say, we were both very surprised by Tracy being not just a virgin, but like saving himself for marriage.
Yeah. I was surprised. Curious to see where it goes.
Yeah. Let's talk about Julie, Noel, and Ruby, because Ruby makes her return. So, Sarah, unfortunately, you were incorrect with your prediction that she was just going to stay in Colorado. She has returned to New York after telling her parents. Apparently her mom like didn't talk to her for a few days, and her dad actually took it much better than she expected him to.
That's rough.
And she, yeah, I mean, that, I mean, it wasn't going to be an easy conversation regardless, but that's very difficult. And so then she returns and she says like she has no plans of telling the father. She's just going to like do this on her own. And Noel and Julie have grown closer. I definitely feel like we're heading towards a Noel and Julie romance storyline, because when Elena's like, how am I going to get Noel out of this apartment? And Julie's like, oh, I got him. Don't worry about it. You know, they're having a lot of conversations and Julie feels emboldened to tell. I'm still trying to parse through my feelings on this, Sarah, of like Julie saying to Noel, you have to tell Ruby to tell the father.
I don't think it's any of Julie's business, but whatever.
I think that's ultimately where I land as well. I understand where Julie is coming from as a kid who was like adopted and her father doesn't know about her. Like she has deep, deep emotional investment in this particular thing. So I can totally understand where she's coming from. However, it's ultimately Ruby's choice. And I think the difference is, Sarah, she doesn't know anything about this man that is Ruby's baby's father. I think there are reasons why you wouldn't want to tell someone if they were abused. And I'm not saying anything. We have no reason to believe this is true about the person Ruby slept with. However, what if he was abusive? What if he was dangerous? Like there are so many reasons why you wouldn't necessarily always, always, always tell the guy. But I would say I understand where Julie's coming from in saying like that kid should know. And the dad theoretically should have an opportunity to be a part of the kid's life if he's not a total asshole creep, you know? Yeah,
this is kind of my opinion on it. I think that, number one, I don't like the fact that Julie is using Noel as her speaker, you know? I think if it was me, what I would think the right thing to do would be to herself go to Ruby and be like, hi, I know it's not any of my business, but I just want to give you my perspective of a child of adoption or that, you know, who met their birth mother, but their birth father doesn't know anything about me and how that makes me feel. And like, I, you know, take the story in, absorb it, and then do what you will with it. But I just think that like this is something that could be a very real situation for you in time. And I want you to hear my perspective on it. Like, yeah. I don't want to persuade you to do any which thing. Like, it's none of my business. But like, listen to me and my experience and do with what you want with it.
I agree. I think my one stipulation is I think how I would approach it. And again, this is 30-year-old women approaching this, not, you know, college students. I think if I'm Julie, I say to Noel, hey, like, especially if she's not close with Ruby, I think you say to Noel, let Ruby know I would love to like have a conversation with her coming from the perspective of someone who was adopted. I would love to like sit down and talk to her. I think you're not forcing it on her in that way. You're letting her decide if she's open to hearing your perspective. And I feel like Ruby, from everything we've seen, Ruby is a very reasonable person. I feel like she would definitely be like, oh, of course I'll talk to Julie. Like, cause they've hung out before too. So I don't think it's unreasonable. But I feel like the way she's doing it feels very much like she's passing judgment.
She's forcing Noel, being like, you have to do this, you have to tell her this, you have to, you have to, like, you must, like, she's like forcing her message through Noel. Then Noel is like articulating stuff that like I don't know if he fully believes or he does partially believe, but he's like playing it off as like mostly his beliefs.
And he's calling her selfish, which I also feel like just isn't the right approach to this. Like, I just think that the way he approached it, like, cause he brings in his own experience with Ruby too. It's like, oh, you made this unilateral decision. Like you cut me out of the process. Like, what happens if the guy wants to be involved. I just think like he could be going about it a bit more delicately than he is. And it does feel very much like Julie is speaking through Noel as a mouthpiece, which also doesn't feel great, because if I'm Ruby and I'm like, where is all this coming from, Noel? Like, all of a sudden you feel very passionately about this. And he's like, oh, I had a conversation with Julie. I feel a little icky that like my business is being discussed without me being there, especially something as like serious as this, you know? Yeah. Cause again, I don't disagree with what Julie is saying. Especially if the father isn't a complete fucking asshole. Like, if he is a decent guy from everything she knows, I feel like you should tell him. If you're going to have the baby, I definitely feel like you should tell him if he wants to be involved. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, like, I do think she should tell him, as long as, again, none of those other factors are a thing. But it's not really Julie's place, you know?
No.
So.
No.
But what can I gauge what your feelings are on Noel and Julie as, like, a possibility in the future?
I think that, I mean, I'm trying to, because I'm putting on my, like, this is a teen television show, young adult television show. It's just like the name of the game to do these different combinations. But if I take that out of it, I think that they're going to be decent as a couple. I just always prefer when these couples or these characters in the show, our main cast, date outside of the pool that we're given, because it's just more interesting. I don't think that they're endgame. I think they're just nothing. And I still think that Julie really should work on herself in therapy before getting into another relationship. And I think that it almost feels a little, we're going to do this for the drama and the jealousy and the rift between Julie and Felicity and Felicity and Noel. Like, it feels a little forced in the fact of, like, we need the highest amount of drama possible. But I mean, all in all, like, Noel's a good guy, Julie's a nice girl, like, they could work. But I just feel as though it's more so for the reactions of Felicity.
Yeah, I agree. I do think they have potential to be a decent match with one another. But we still have the Sean thing going on. Like, Sean still has feelings for Julie, and that really hasn't been resolved. I think Julie definitely needs to take some time and work on herself.
Yeah.
Seems so, like, yeah.
Sean is out of the game.
It seems like it. Yeah. So we'll see. I definitely think we're heading in that direction. I just hope when that all shakes out that it doesn't also, like, involve Felicity and all that drama. Like, I do think if Julie does start to feel a certain way, I think she needs to have a conversation with Felicity. Like, it's her ex-boyfriend. Like, I do think that's important, especially when Julie got so pissed off at Felicity for the whole Ben thing. Like, you gotta be reciprocal about that shit. But we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see where all of that goes. Anything else one more thing before we talk about who we're giving our point to and feedback and all that. I loved Javier going to the campaign thing and being like so proud of Felicity and sitting next to Ben. I thought it was hilarious and I loved
it. Yeah, he was very like mom taking a video with her iPad.
Yes.
Coded.
Yeah.
It was very, very cute. I really, really enjoy Javier getting slotted into these little things. He's way too involved in these children's lives.
Oh, too much. Yeah.
We're like past the point of no return at this point. Yeah. So.
And I also loved Megan standing up and being like, who hasn't done hardcore drugs occasionally?
Yeah. I haven't. I don't know, Megan. I can't relate, but.
Yeah. So funny. But yeah, all right, let's get into some feedback. We got an email from Jamie. I did not love this episode, but it does seem to be going into an interesting direction with Ben following Felicity and Greg. Hopefully this all means the end of Greg.
Oh, I am crossing my fingers. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really excited for the next two episodes as a friend of mine who has watched the entire series say they're two of her favorites.
Ooh.
Ooh. Before I end this, I wanted to share Felicity's story with you. This week I was at the dentist's office, and on the TV in the waiting room, they were playing a season 4 episode of Felicity, or at least I think it's season 4 because her hair was very different. I was so upset I would get spoiled, but luckily the volume wasn't on very high and there was lots of talking in the waiting room. So I have no idea what was going on in the episode other than one of the characters was participating in a beauty pageant.
Ooh.
Wow. Very Dawson's Creek.
Who do we think is going to participate in a beauty pageant?
Ooh, good question. Okay. What if it's Elena because of like some sponsorship or scholarship?
That's that was my guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the scholarship thing, but Elena.
Okay. Well, let's put our money there. It's Elena. We'll see. We have a couple seasons to go. Another thing before I go, Jessica mentioned in last week's podcast that she has started watching The Americans, Carrie Russell's second hit series that got her 3 Emmy nominations. I've heard the show is really good, but starts off slow. I'm curious to know what your thoughts are on the show and if you would recommend it. Jamie, what I would say is I have also heard things like the show starts off slow. I will say when Will and I first started it, I think we watched 4 or 5 episodes or so. And then we fell off of it for a while. And then we returned to it and have been really, really enjoying it. I think it really hits its stride like in season 2. But the seasons aren't super long. They're like 40 minutes an episode and like 13 episodes a season. I really like it. You kind of have to be into spy espionage sort of stuff, but I think it handles family drama, the complications of like marriage and trust and all of that very, very well. And it takes place in the 80s during like the Cold War. So if you're a bit of a historical buff, you may also like it for that reason. I often need to ask Will questions because I'm not super great at history. So I like to get a little bit more historical context. The fashion is great. And I can't believe I've been talking about it this long without mentioning the wigs. The wigs on this show are a top 5 reason to watch it. You can quote me on that. The wigs are hysterical. Absolutely hilarious because every time they're going to pretend to be someone else, they have like wigs and glasses and, you know, the guy has like beards and mustaches and crazy. It's really, really fun. And I think in particular, I'm not surprised to hear Carrie Russell got a bunch of Emmy nominations for it because I think she is absolutely acting her ass off. She is incredible in the show. So a little bit of a heads up as well, if you're not huge on subtitles, there are a lot of like Russian storylines and so they speak Russian and there are subtitles. So if that's a no-go for you, I would say probably not the show for you, but it's not super heavy. We just started season 4 and it is like, we are rip roaring. Like it is a wild time. So it only gets better as the show goes on, but I do recommend it. I hope that answers your question, Jamie.
Nice.
And then she had one more question. Have either of you watched Carrie's third hit show, The Diplomat, which is on Netflix and got her another Emmy nomination? The second season is coming out in October, and I'm curious if it's any good. Diplomat. I have not seen this show. American political thriller.
Oh.
I have not. No. Nope. Yeah, interesting. Okay. Well, maybe I'll check that out. We'll see once we finish The Americans. But yeah. Sarah, does The Americans sound like anything you would ever watch?
No,
I didn't think so. Okay, let's hear what Temi has to say this week.
What up, though, ladies? So what happened this episode?
This is Temi, right? Let me. That sounded like Temi's voice doing a DBK thing.
Yeah, Ben, he's challenging another guy. I see these things happen all the time. I think basically the WB should have had a separate show where Pacey from Dawson's Creek and Ben from Felicity, they just have a fight night.
Yeah.
Instead of having all these plots, have these two characters come up against somebody in the boxing ring. That's what I think. And then eventually, at the season finale, Ben and Pacey match up against each other. It'd be a one season thing, you know. So, what do you think about that? And until next time, ladies, peace. Peace.
Temi is doing a DBK impression, and I'm all out of whack because we didn't get a voicemail from DBK this week. So it really, really threw me for a loop that, like, what the hell is going on right now?
Man, I would have loved if
DBK did a Temi impression.
In with a Temi impression.
DBK that would have to learn a couple languages, I think, to be able to spice that in.
DBK, how's your French doing?
Yeah, how is your French? Okay, so what do we think of this idea? A fight night island.
Love it. It's honestly all I want. It's like celebrity deathmatch.
I was going to say the same thing. Yes.
With just the characters. With
fictional characters. I love that idea. Actually, I think Joshua Jackson is actually going to be in something else soon. He's going to be in a new show. Dr. Odyssey. Why does he keep starring in doctor shows. Let's see. Max, so it's going to be on ABC and Hulu. Max is the new onboard doctor for a luxury cruise ship where a small but mighty medical team navigate unique medical crises and each other miles from shore. So it's like a procedural.
Okay.
Oh, he looks, I'm not going to lie, Sarah, he's looking real like nice. He looks very tan. Can I show you? I'm going to share my
please
screen.
Please do.
I'm going to show you what Joshua Jackson is looking like here.
Yeah, he looks hot, I guess.
Hey, is that what's her face from Hamilton? Philippa?
Philippa Sue.
Yeah,
it is. If you look,
Eliza, girl, what you doing?
Yeah. Okay. Maybe we need to check this out.
I might need to watch the show. Anyway, also starring Don Johnson and Sean Teal, if that's something that's interesting to you. Anyway, Dr. Odyssey. I don't even know where we were going with that. Oh yeah, we do need an island. We need a fight island. I would love that.
Yeah, it's a perfect idea to me. Great idea.
Also, DBK, if you did send something in, I'm not seeing it, so I apologize if you did and it somehow got lost. I checked everywhere and I don't see anything. If you're just busy, don't worry about it, you know. all right, let's give out a point this episode. Sarah, who are you leaning towards? Who should get the point this episode?
Either Richard for winning based on pizza or Tracy for being honest with Elena. You don't like those.
I don't think we should give it to Richard because he's the one who spread the news about. Oh,
I forgot Greg. About that.
So I feel like that's not great. Yeah. Tracy is fine. I do think he could have given her the news a little bit sooner, but maybe I'm just too honest too soon, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's give it we could give it to Elena for making lobster. Cause that's impressive.
No. You know how it's like, it's probably like very embarrassing for a guy to admit that too.
Yeah. I could see that. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's give it to Tracy. So he has earned our point this week, and next week, we are going to be covering season 2, episode 20. Ben was here.
Oh, okay. In Rhinebeck.
So hopefully they go to the candy shop and get some sweets.
One can really hope.
Yeah. Anything else on this episode, Sarah?
No. I'm excited to see where this journey goes. Honestly, I'm very excited to see what kind of mayhem Ben creates.
Yes. Okay. Well, next week we'll be back covering Ben Was Here. Can't wait. Season 2, episode 20. In the meantime, Sarah and I are also finishing up season 2 of Buffy. So go check that out. We're going to be covering the finale, which was a wild, wild ride. Find us at Shit90sPod, Twitter and Instagram, and everywhere else, shit90sPod@gmail.com. If you want to send us in an email, we greatly appreciate it, and we will talk to you all next time. Have a good one. Bye.
Shit90shows.me.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.